Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Adapter for SAP version 7.5, what's new? Today's presenter is Jayaprakash Raju. Jayaprakash was assigned to the role of Technical Lead WebSphere Adapters in April 2011. In this capacity, he is responsible to bring in new technologies to adapters and supporting customers. He directs the adapter development team to develop the adapter space with new features from EIS and delivering the same to customer satisfaction. At this point in time, I would like to turn presentation over to Jayaprakash.
Good morning, all. I'd like to welcome you all to this session of WebSphere Adapter for SAP. Before getting in, I'd like to greet you all with a Happy New Year and prosperous year going forward. Joseph, can we move on to slide number 2? WebSphere Adapter for SAP, we have been planning to look at it as a 4 different sections here. The first and foremost could be to look at it, the need for EAS connectivity. Then we'll move on to see what we have been giving in WebSphere Adapter for SAP. It will give you a quick overview of architecture and component integration viewpoint for this section. And then move on to see what all the existing features in the WebSphere Adapter for SAP present. And moving on, we'll see the latest features introduced in this current version, WebSphere Adapter for SAP 7.5, specifically in detail. So these are the sections we are planning to cover in this session. So I'd like to take it up to the slide number 4. Joseph, please, can you take it to slide number 4? Thanks. So we are here to take a look at EAS connectivity. What does it mean? If you look at it, the top business imperatives of today's businesses, agility and its cost optimization. That's the need of the hour for any business to take into consideration. They are looking for agility and cost optimization to react to the fast-moving business demands and keep the cost intact within their expectations. So keeping all in that mind, how we can able to help them out in building their business solutions. So all you need is an integrated enterprise environment which enables them to take or meet this imperative of today's business. That's the need of the hour. So this is something we want to take as a title here moving forward. And let's see how today we have been running the business in the customer scenarios. So needless to say that most of the customer scenarios do have an enterprise system such as them to meet out their business executions. That varies in of choices. It could be of SAP, it could have been Siebel or whatever it may be, it varies. But in general, if you look at it, they are going to have an enterprise system in their solution front to meet their business demands. But that's the primary thing which we have been looking at, and which may have the silos of information. But keeping that alone may not help the people to take additional business decisions. Keeping that, we need to have a business applications or the processes or analytics products which helps you to pull out the information from the EAS systems to make a business decisions dynamically. These are the general needs. Probably we have been looking at it. What is the drive behind it? That's the objective of this particular section. So if you look at it, that could be an alliance of information here and the layers of separation. So the information are being available as part of the enterprise systems, and the decision-making applications and the reporting information and analysis products have been part of the next layer where they need to pull out data. So without which the integration, you may not be able to make a justification to the business demands and their drive. But this pushing forward and the need for connectivity and integrated enterprise. This is something we have been saying here. A well-integrated enterprise helps you to make an informed business decisions at right time and ensure you are top of the business. This is the push behind it. We are saying this is requirement for integrated enterprise environment. So let's look at it. What's more and what's real challenging here to make this integration to be having a specific piece? As you have been saying here, that is, varied EA systems could be used by the customers. But every EA systems will follow their own programming models and data representations, which are mostly in a proprietary format models, which leads to a huge challenge for any business developer to integrate across varied set of enterprise systems. Or even in that case, you need to have one more step. The business applications where you have been developing requires an integrated runtime to be deployed. In today's situation, if you look at it in the open competitive market, you have plenty of integrated runtimes available in the market, and all follows a different programming paradigm and the data formats of their role, which mostly never falls in line with EAS again. That raises a need for adaptation between these two layers, who are following entirely different programming models and data representations. So this drives in the need for adaptation of these two layers in here. That's the push behind it, and that's the drive for having an adapters to ensure we are getting in a well-integrated enterprise, which helps you to meet the business imperative of the day. Let's move on to slide number 5. And sure, if you look at it, we are seeing there is a need for adaptation. Well, what will require for the adaptation requirements? Well, let's see in detail what all need to be adapted. Where all need to be bridging. As we have been seeing it clearly, there is a programming model difference. You need an interface adaptation. And we said already, they may follow in a different data structures or data formats. This pushing for a data adaptation, what else have you been looking for? Obviously, you need to send the data from and to the EA systems within the business application, which is pushing for another requirement, like, say, bi-directional connectivity between your business applications and the enterprise systems. So keeping in fact, these are the drive for your adapters to be developed. To keep it more simple, for a sake of argument, that there is lots of debate around what is the big deal about in developing an adapter on the own by a customer's the need basis. There is a huge challenge we need to understand. It's not just about giving the adaptation for the specifics of EAS and your programming model in a custom fashion, which would put you in a limbo of state, going tied up with the runtime or with the EA system together. Without following any standards, you would be limited to the specifics of the runtimes and enterprise systems. That's the first rule. Well, let me say, I will move on now to a standards and I'm going to adhere to the specifications. What is the problem in this? I can follow in a specification which is being universally followed or openly followed by J2CE. Fine. You can develop your own J2CE standards adapters. Still, there are points you need to realize it. It's not just about an adaptations providing for the programming and data alone. It's much more beyond that. You need to provide certain other quality of services along with this adapter, which is the need of the business. Or, what are those quality of services? What should I want to worry about those things? Looking forward, you might need to have a connection management, which just needs to be help you better when you have been interacting with numerous interactions of connectivity between your business applications and your enterprise systems, which is the backbone of your integration. That's a first and foremost quality of service expected out. Beyond that, what else I need? I need to ensure the data being transferred between my business applications and enterprise systems are being governed by the transaction. Yes, that's foremost for the business transactions whenever it comes into picture. Yes, I need to have a transaction management capability as an additional quality of service. Needless to say that you have been involved within a business integration, you need to ensure security of your integration or interaction, what you call it. Security is there. Beyond that, just when I'm doing numerous such integrations and there are a lot of workflows that have been flowing across in my business scenario, I need a monitoring that helps me to do various other flows in a single point. This keeps going. The requirements are keep growing. It's not just more about having following the standards and merely developing in a custom adapter for a specific thing. That's the necessity which has been keep adding and pushing in for a common product to be evolved and which could help you to ensure that is a less maintenance effort for you. In other terms, in going for a custom scenario, you might end up a huge toll of maintaining such a custom course, which may not even be suitable for you when you move into the another set of integration for reusability. So these are the imperatives which pushing you saying there is a need for a common product to help you out bridging this integration layer and provide you an adaptation between your business applications or the business process or the analytics information. Where you go with an enterprise system, these adapters are required, which ensures all the requirements here along with the quality of service and more importantly, maintenance efforts are being taken care of. Beyond it, you do support to ensure the migration efforts and other things which will be taken care of when you have been giving out it in a product perspective or in a general adapter. There are a lot of other co-attributes helping you to ensure there is a need for an adapter and need for a product as common, rather looking at it as a custom-based integration on the need of yours, which would put you in a different state of spot of order, limited to the runtime, with a lot of holes around the maintainability. These things could stop your business agility and increases the cost, which is against our imperative purposes. But these are the reasons again we have been insisting to have and clean and set up adapters of the product, and which we have been proudly delivering it as a stack of adapters from IBM, not just for one. We have been giving it for adapters as a stack for all, for almost many EAS systems, in fact, whenever we're naming it. Today, for our session scope, we have been concentrating on specific enterprise system here. So that's what we are going to see in detail, how it is being scaled up and how it's being collaborated in the component fashion, how it facilitates, what are the interfaces it supports, things like that. In the moving sections, we'll take a look at that individually. At the same time, I'd like to iterate it here quickly before moving into the next phases. We do have adapters for CBUS, Oracle EBS, Microsoft, JD Edwards, and do for IBM I, Lotus, and for other technology adapters do we support. So we have been covering in a wide range of adapters, not just for enterprise, even for the technology set we do cover it from perspectives of FTP, file transfer, and JDBC. Things like that, we have been giving in a wide range of adapters supporting enterprise systems as well as the technology adapters. So that's a huge stack which is going to improve across the runtimes of Sphere platform in various levels of BPM stack and in the WMD stack, the messaging stack basically. This is for our quick recap before getting into the specifics of this Sphere adapter for SAP. But that's a river here. What sources both have an EAS connectivity, and what necessitates and what drives them to have an adapter, and how we are getting better by having a dedicated adapter product as such. Is in overview now, and with it, hope it gives us a clear picture now. We need to have an adapter as a product, or rather as a simple bridge we might be looking at before the start of the session. So that's what the message from this particular section. So now let's move on to the slide number 7. Here we go. What is the Sphere adapter for SAP probably? How it will look like? So if you look at it, it's an integration application wherein you can deploy your business applications on the ESB worlds, which could help you to connect to the enterprise systems through our adapter SAP, which in turn utilizes the library supplied by the enterprise systems. Here it is a JCO library provided by the SAP system to connect with the SAP system. So this is how the data flows across. From your external application, details have been communicated or requests have been going into the ESBs. From the ESBs, the adapters have been deployed there, which will be going to help you bridge your data and programming with underneath SAP system. So it helps in both the directions. As we've seen in the previous section, there is a need for bidirectional connectivity, so which ensures that we are going to have both directions outbound and both are supported to these adapters. So again, we've been saying there is a lot of programming models and a lot of runtimes we need to support. That's why we are saying this adapter has been supported across various programming models and the runtimes. The J2E, SCORM, and even say for runtimes, and WASP, a plain vanilla WebSphere application server, and even on top of these WPO systems or BPM, the so called latest one, they do support on that. even on the messaging systems, WMB, we do have the same adapter, then nothing changes. The point we noted, the adapters remain the same. The interfaces and the kind of interactions, everything will be remain same irrespective of your runtimes and programming. We take care internally generating the artifacts for binding respective runtime specific data formats. That's the art behind it. It is where the app is. So how I can go about it from user perspective? What I want to do about it? How I can able to use it? All you need, just a poster, connect, discover the object, configure your objects as you repair with your customizations. Then there you go, artifacts are generated, then you're going to deploy them and test it. Just in a poster, your enterprise will integrate with your business application. It's not being exaggerated here, this is what the fact. They all underneath artifacts for integrating your data model and enterprise service models are taken care by the adapter. Just for example, for our discussion, let's take a plain vanilla WASP-related environment where you might have an GTU programming model and enterprise services, SAP is going to give you back an IDOS. You can discover the IDOS and deploy it. The artifacts have been generated to bind your G2U model and IDOS. That's taken care. And the artifacts have been deployed to your RESTful runtime. There you go for ready to integrate your enterprise environment. They're ready. And you can start with your production. So that's so simple. Just with the four steps, your enterprises have been integrated. That's the beauty of RESTful apps. It's not just for SAP, it's applicable for all the stack of products we have been doing here. So we are taking here a look at it, how it's been choreographed here for SAP. So let me move on to slide number 9. Thanks, Stefan. So here, we are seeing now how it has been helps you in generating the artifacts, binding and integrating your enterprise in a rapid fashion. So now I want to know from the customer perspective, what do I support and what are the interfaces? How I can able to integrate with the SAP specifically? What are the interfaces you do you support as a RESTful adapter for SAP? So we do support BAP interfaces, ALE interface, they're quite common and widely used from the SAP world. Who's under the policies? Taking care. So what do we do here? We can't do support both in one or outbound for things of BAP and ALE. These are the standard interfaces from the SAP. And what are the other interfaces? And how I can go beyond and help my customer. These are the standard interfaces what normally SAP uses. So, but you are giving it beyond to me. From the IBM standpoint, we look at it, there is a value beyond. Even you made a look to look at it, deliver SAP tables as such through QAS and an interface from RESTful Apps team as such. This is a custom interface which facilitates you to pull up data from SAP tables as such. This is a one step okay than the standard interfaces. But what else the other things? Yes, we do support registering these alerts and events for SAP tables. That we support advanced event processing mechanisms which will help you to tune monitoring mechanisms and things like that. These are the extra interfaces beyond the standards which IBM sets into support the customer from the business standpoint. We identify these interfaces will help the customer beyond the standard interface. And then based on the things. these are the interfaces we need to take in mind. We support it from this adapter point of view. And of course, most importantly, is this is a JCA compliant adapter. So we have a thorough tested protection environment, and we do support for, as I said in the beginning of the session, migration from this environment. So you can seamlessly move things from development to testing, or testing to production. What are the phases, you know? That's the beauty of it. You don't want to worry about all those additional features which might require to bring up your enterprise integration. So that's all taken care of from all overall perspective, along with this quality of service. So that's the case where we're saying you could be able to concentrate on your business applications and just click to ensure your enterprise is integrated. You're free now to go for the support and interface. Good. Let's move on now to see what all features we have been supporting in overall perspective so far. It's tell us. That will give us a view. What are the other features apart from these interfaces of integration? I've been given it in this way that. Joseph, please move on to slide number 10. So this is the comprehensive features which we have been supporting in the ACP adapters. We are in slide number 10. What are the features we have been talking about here? So quickly you can take a look, that could be a protocol support and things which you can take a look. But the point what we want to see here in this, what is this I'm going to support it? Do I need a different instances for the adapters for the multiple interface? Not necessarily. We are helping you to support multiple interfaces in a single instance. So that's a huge value for the system. I want to deploy more and manage it with a single instance. That's a huge thing. What else I could look at? The key point what you have been saying, event recovery mechanism. What is the event recovery mechanism? What I want to bother about it? If you have been looking at for the inbound scenarios, you register for the events to be retrieved from the your enterprise systems, there could be cases of failures after retrieving events from the SAP systems before delivering to a client. How am I going about it? Do I lost my events here? Not really. We have an inbuilt feature saying that event record mechanism ensures always it will deliver the events only once to the client without fail. So that's the key thing we have been saying. It's an inbuilt facility. As we have been said, apart from the QAs what we have been discussed at the start of the session, we do provide plenty of other internal features and quality of services to help your integration intact. These are the services beyond it. Like say you have been failed to deliver an event to a client side, I don't want to worry about it. I have an inbuilt recovery mechanism which helps me to recover the events once the system is in back. At the same time, adapters ensures there is no duplicate delivery of events, which is a key in the business. I cannot deliver twice in the same purchaser. So these are taken care of here as inbuilt qualities. So let me not go into the individual features, everything. Probably others could be. Most importantly, I just give you an outline of this battery work unit and battery resource. What is this features all about? How I can able to utilize this in customer sector? Let's take the first battery work unit. What is the need of it? What is this called about? It's a pattern. We can say this is more of a pattern, which helps you to execute sequence of batteries to accomplish any business unit of work. If you say that could be one business unit of work for computing the purchase order updation across two batteries need to be invoked in a sequential fashion. This is a scenario. Then we do support that within a battery work unit, you can choreograph or select the sequence of batteries which need to be executed to accomplish a single business unit. A single business task is done. That's taken care of and the pattern has been automatically supported and you don't want to do anything much beyond it. It's just about the resource drive, select the batteries, place the work unit. That ensures you free of other integration needs and ensures this is a single business task. Intact. So that's the beauty of it. Good. What is this battery results set? How it helps me? Battery results set. That's another interesting thing. You might be now encountering situations like, could I fuel batteries to retrieve a desired result to the client? Let's take a simple example. I might need to pull out the phone number of all the employees. With constraint. I am going to the first BAPI which will help me to give me the employee names or the employee numbers in such a fashion. Then I may go to the subsequent another BAPI to pull out the employee phone numbers or addresses or things like that based upon the results of the first BAPI. So we are here choreographing it. The results of the first BAPI is going to be fit into the second BAPI and the second BAPI's results are going to be delivered to the client. This is another pattern wherein you can make use of it as per your demands, choreograph the number of sequence of batteries to get out the results as an input to receive another battery and pull out the information from the last one. This is another business model, the pattern we will support here. So these are the common patterns we have been recommending and saying, yes. We have been aware of the business demands and the common usage patterns across in these solutions and we have been giving out of the box these patterns as well. These are the value adds. If you look at it beyond your just bridging, we are giving you an out of the box template for the patterns which you can just fill in and make use of your customer solutions. And helps you to accelerate your integration in no time. It's because it's all in the resort-based options. Whatever I've been talking here, it's all just assisted by you for a resort-based option and artifacts have been generated out of it in the background. So that ensures the integrations are being. So first, that fashion we've been looking at. That's about the future here we'll be looking at. So how I can go about the inbound, that's something people may have it in mind, say, what have I been listening in, how I can able to listen it? So that is a mechanism which we want to know about it. Or of the program ID people in the exports of SAPs may have heard of it. And that's the bridging and mapping we are using it for the inbound mechanisms. And that single part of the program ID can help you to route the data according to the course. Configuring points using this process capability. So that's the intelligence we have been built inside. So these are the capabilities which helps you out of the box and ensures you have been focused into business needs or business solutions rather than worrying about the integration choices and the patterns in the integrations which commonly required in SAP integration. That's about it. Now let's move on to slide number 11. So here, what is this iterative application development? What I can do about it? What is the benefit I'm deriving about it for that? As we said that it could support more than one business, battery interfaces and things like that, I can even do like combine many business objects and operations as part of the interface is generated out. For doing so, I need to keep iterate over the business objects, the batteries, the dogs, continuously till I complete it. So that's the step we are saying, is the iterative process helps you to discover iteratively various batteries or iDogs, jump to this operation, and you can choreograph it together to generate it, end up with the artifacts. That supports the iterative development, adaptation. That's another facility provided in turn. You don't want to jump across for every single iteration a different challenge, but that's the whole word. So, first, if you look at it, any interfaces that you have been reading about, it's been giving plenty of other benefits all about it. It can support the things like splitting the iDogs, or even pass through the iDogs as it is, such like that. But that's all we can support it. I think that's a self-explanatory. That could easily be seen here. Let me move on now. What are the other things we have been supporting beyond this? Do we support nested structures? Yes, we do support. Quickly we have been going for it? Yes, we have been. What is all about serialization, processing, data analysis? Yes, iDocs, processes have been supporting that, as well as the batch processing, we do support. And the transactional, we are saying chip processing. Do you have any inbuilt mechanism to identify any connection failures? Yes, we have been providing an inbuilt support for correcting ALE connection failures. Sure. What are the other infrastructure facilities we have been doing it? We are leveraging the JAS and J2C authentication alliances for authentication mechanisms, which is an inbuilt from the runtime. What are the other stuff? The runtime leverage facility will be a high availability and clustering. Just part of the runtime facility, we have been leveraging it to get address, and we are going to benefit from that. So it's going to directly benefit your performance, and it increases your availability. It's all provided here as part of the SAP adapter features. That's okay. So all that. This is all existing. So what's new been coming up in the 7.5? That's what we are going to see it in detail. What are the features we are supporting in latest in 7.5? We are supporting here ability to generate duplicate business objects. What is that? We'll see that one by one. Ability to optionally choose the create fast record for iDoc. Fast control record. That's a new facility. In general, control records have been passed as a binary format normally, which we introduce this format in this version to help you support fast control record. That's something. What are the other stuff? We have increased our facility to configure the tracing for RFCs as well as CPAC traces. Okay, it's all supported here. And to support the runtime's J-code tracing. That's what we have been talking about. J-code tracing and CPAC tracing. Beyond that, we support the monitoring facility. That helps you to vary the interceptors and as a, we can even call it as an exit point or exit API, wherein customers can bring in their own monitoring capabilities or format facilities. In simple, the interceptors. These are the features we are going to see it in detail now. Let's move on to slide number 13. So, that's the thing. Generate unique files. That's what I'm saying. We will be supporting a duplicate back to business object, capability to generate duplicate business objects. That's it. This is a bit confusing if you've been looking at it simply. What is this all about? Why should I want to generate a duplicate business object? I'm not interested in generating that. You're seeing something in the back of the future, like say, iterative application development, wherein I may choose to have more than one or two batches in the sequence of artifact generation. In that course, I may have more than one or two business objects get duplicated across the batches. So how I can handle it? Do you need to say to some point I didn't handle it? No. We're handling it. Handling the mechanism is slightly different now in some point. How it is and what is the previous problem? Previously we used to have a mechanism of relative ASCII generation mechanism which has a serious impact when you are being regenerating your artifacts and do an artifact iterative development for modifications or removal or things like that, it impacts the existing artifact integrations. So it completely changes the units, which adversely impacts your existing integration scenarios. So this is a huge failure point if you look at it that fashion when you are doing for the integration of existing artifacts, meaning you are going to reopen these existing artifacts and iteratively modify the existing information, then it impacts the existing integration scenarios. So how I can change it now and what is the mechanism we have modified here? Now moving forward, we said, let's add it differently. ASCII mechanism to be moved into the namespaces rather than into the business objects. And more importantly, the two changes, let's not have the ASCII mechanisms in the view means, and let's not have it in a relative fashion. Have a standard ASCII mechanism algorithm, which will not get impacted even if you have been altering your iterative mechanisms, order of batches, or even moving the batches. That's the key, which helps you to keep intact all these views, unique or otherwise, allows to have duplicate business objects in unique fashion. That's the key. So let's take a look at the slide number 14, how it is being put it across. Just on a screenshot of it, what is being the difference across the previous versions and the new. So, and let's take a 2 points here quickly rather than getting into too much. Now, the VOs have been designed for having the same name without having any hash codes, and those hash codes have been part of the names and namespaces, which helps you to differentiate the duplicate business objects. And most importantly, the ASCII algorithms are being standardized now, rather than the relating mechanisms of the previous case. So this fashion, it helps you to give you a stable integration scenario, even if you do an iteration changes. That's the change in value of it. So let's now move on to slide number 15. This is POD IT CAM monitoring. What is this all about? POD IT CAM monitoring is quickly about the chain of interceptors. We are talking about the start of each interceptor get invoked on it. Currently we may have it the CD based even mechanisms which will support it for the infrastructures of currently WPOs or even POD monitoring. Let's say tomorrow user comes up with a new monitoring mechanism. How you can do about it? Let's take a look at this slide number 16, how we are facilitating that. This is all about the chain of interceptors. You can introduce your own interceptors, which is going to take care of formatting your own event model and firing into your endpoints where your monitor has been looking at, along with the inbuilt interceptors, which we used to call CAE interceptors, which is an inbuilt one, going to emit it for the CA data models, utilized by the CO. Beyond that, as a customer, I may have my own monitoring mechanisms or dashboards where I want to emit my own data formats. Do we support? Yes, we are supporting it exclusively with an Exit API. You can bring in your interceptors and introduce it that interceptors are into this format here, and that is good. And the interceptors here will be added to the API standards as been given in the adapters information game. That's all so simple. You can able to leverage it and ensure you have been able to get it out. Or custom models to work along with the inbuilt mechanism. This is something you want to keep an eye here, not just about the inbuilt monitoring mechanisms alone. We are helping you to develop your own monitoring data models and forms. That's all about here with this new feature. Let's move on now to slide number 17. So here, as we have been talking about, so far we have been using the control data structures as a pass-through file, which may not be useful for the endpoint to any routing mechanisms or things like that. So then the client ends up saying this binary data cannot be used for the routing purpose. Can you help me here? Pass the binary data and give me a controlled record structure, fast controlled record structure. Sure, in this ALB pass through alone, we'll give you a fast controlled record structure which could be delivered to the endpoint and help the user to route the data based upon the information in the control structure. That's how we look at it. The slide number 18 shows out how the user interfaces are being designed. Let's move on to slide number 18. Here it says how it will help you to make a decision on the control record structures. These informations are now going to be given to you as a fast information rather as a binary, which is going to help the endpoint to make decisions according to the information in the control record structure. But that's the value. With this point, we can able to utilize the controlled record structures information for routing the data. So that's the value. Let's move on to slide number 19. This is just a very short for you to look at it, how we can able to enable this facility during the result-based operations. So this gives you a picture, you can enable it for the first controlled data structures. That's not what. Nothing much beyond this, but let's move on to slide number 20. Looking at the future. API traces. What is the API traces all about supporting it? In any way, any product you go for, you can see that the traces are the most important things for analysis of the failures or even for the information for the developer point of view. Whenever there is a repair for analysis, these informations are key behind it. Looking at that, today we have been supporting it with an adapter traces, which may not be sufficient when you have been looking at it from the integration standpoint. Adapters going into JCO libraries and JCO libraries in turn utilizing this API. So how I can go and investigate about the JCO related information or even something beyond it in the Oracle tree. There you go. Here we have been allowing you to enable such a traces with a facility that JCO APIs can be enabled that help you to record those JCO calls in the log whenever there is an integration happens for this particular traces. You can go in for enabling the JCO traces, which helps you for the analysis purpose. That's the most important. It helps you in the debugging scenario very much that with the JCO based information for key. After the adapter, the calls have been given to JCO libraries. What happens there in JCO libraries? We are no clue about it. So that's where we need to enable the traces and ensure how the data has been flowed across JCO libraries. So that's why this facility helps you recording the zip code related traces. Very good. Then you go to slide number 21, we'll see how the CPI traces helps you out. What is the CPI traces all? Common programming interfaces which helps you to describe the levels of interface, logging levels or trace levels at desired interest, and which helps you to investigate the analysis from the SAP point of view, what is going on inside the common programming, what are they having it for the interfacing between the desired API and to the CCP system, that's the bridge. How it has been going around, what are the things that are happening, is there any failures, what are the data is been transferred. This is all about analysis and debugging purpose. It will help you to understand what's going around in the integration scenario. So these are the key from the debugging perspective. So from user point of view and admin point of view, all you can see, from 7.5, I have a capability to enable J-code traces and set the CPI traces levels, which is be helpful when I'm going in for analyzing about any problems, debugging the scenarios or failures used by me. Adapter experts here, as well as collaborating with SAP system experts on the case. This is what we want to keep in mind. The traces have been enabled in a final level, not just adapter traces, even this integration library traces and levels can be set for that. These are the features that we're saying about added reasons in the problem. So that's all about going to the slide number 22. We are going to take a quick snap summary. Whatever we have been discussed and seen so far. Let's take a quick recap. We have seen about the EAS connectivity, why it's required, identity ensures and meet the business imperatives of agility and cost optimization. I may need to have an integrated enterprise, which in turn push me out for an adaptation requirement, and that helps me out coming up with an exclusive adapter product along with the quality of services and plenty of other accelerators which accelerate your integration in no time. That's all. What's about this SAP's architecture? That's what we have been talking about. How it is being integrated on the Spirit Atlas SAP overview. How the data has been going across from your business application to an enterprise service first. From there, it goes to the Spirit Atlas deployed on the service first. From there, it moves on to the J-code library and to the SAP system. This is the data flow, just we have been giving it in a high-level point of view. That's one of the things, which helps you to give you a J2E programming model integration and SCOP programming model integration. That's all taken care of by the Spirit Adapter. And helps generate the artifacts in a resort fashion. That's the key. Just in the posters, I have my artifacts ready for deployment, enterprise integration intact. That's a quick recap. So we keep in mind that just in 4 clicks, my enterprise is integrated with my business applications. There I go. I move along. SAP features, it's the adapter for SAP features. That talks about what are all the interfaces I've been supporting it, and beyond that, what all the features specifically I've been talking about. And few to recap quickly, ALE, PAPI, IDOS, Catcher Award, supporting this PAPI work unit, PAPI resources, and do support about the single instance adapters for the multiple cases. And then supporting it to RFC programming ID, the inbound operations. These are the few follow-up keys. And leveraging clustering capabilities and high availabilities from the runtime. It's not the quick all caps of the features what you have been looking at. It's that percent of the intact from the previous thing. And last but not least, the 4.5 new features, we've seen in detail how we can handle it, duplicate business objects, even in the iterative process, or iterative development scenario. And then, how I'm supporting additional connectivity about monitoring facilities. I mean, custom monitoring can be connected from the adapter through my custom interceptors. So that's the key. The chain of interceptors facilitate users to support their own custom monitor beyond what is supported today, theory, and things like that. But that's key. What is next? Do support the J-code RFC trace. This was something quickly for our quick view, and not the last. Post control data structures, which helps the client to enable routing decisions based upon the control record information. So these are the new feature sets we have introduced in 1.5. So that's all with me. Now it's over to Joseph.
Thank you, Pachaya Prakash, for a great presentation today. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We have no questions over the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. And it looks like we don't have any questions coming through the web conference either. So at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.